You've heard of Reader's Digest Condensed Books. This is My Two Cents, where you'll occasionally find digested movies. This week, Harrison Ford in 1982's Blade Runner is chewed up into about 8 minutes. The movie has been ranked third best movie of all time by the Screen Directory, and Channel 4's 100 Greatest Films of All Time's poll put it at number 8 in 2002. Spoiler alert, if you're the type who always wants a surprise ending, you might want to stick your fingers in your ears for the last minute or so.
A new life awaits you in the off-world colonies. The chance to begin again in a golden land of opportunity and adventure.
The setting is Los Angeles 2019. In that part of the world, most who could move to off-world colonies have done so. The streets of Los Angeles resemble, in the words of director Ridley Scott, Hong Kong on a very bad day. Genetic engineering has created quote-unquote replicants, tasked off-world slaves who look exactly like humans. Some have made it back to Earth, and in particular, five have come back to attempt to overcome their built-in four-year lifespan by confronting their designer.
They don't advertise for killers in a newspaper. That was my profession. Ex-cop. Ex-Blade Runner. Ex-killer.
Rick Deckard, played by Harrison Ford, is a Blade Runner, a human who offs malfunctioning replicants. Replicants were retired, not killed. Deckard came out of his own retirement when another Blade Runner, Holden, was killed by replicant Leon in this scene.
Just please don't move.
Oh, sorry.
You're in a desert, walking along in the sand when all of a sudden...
Is this a test now?
Yes. You're in a desert, walking along in the sand when all of a sudden you look...
What one?
What?
What desert?
Doesn't make any difference. What desert is completely hypothetical. You look down and you see a tortoise, Leon. You reach down, you flip the tortoise over on its back, Leon. The tortoise lays on its back, its belly baking in the hot sun, beating its legs, trying to turn itself over, but it can't. Not without your help. But you're not helping.
What do you mean I'm not helping?
I mean you're not helping. Shall we continue? Describe in single words only the good things that come into your mind. About your mother?
My mother?
Yeah.
Let me tell you about my mother.
Leon fired right through the table. So, Deckard is assigned to hunt down Leon, Zora, Roy, played by Rutger Hauer, and Pris, played by Daryl Hannah. These are all Nexus 6 models, very hard to tell from humans. So, he starts by visiting the replicant's creator, Eldon Tyrell, of Tyrell Corporation. He meets Tyrell's assistant, Rachel, played by Sean Young.
I'm Rachel.
Deckard.
It seems you feel our work is not a benefit to the public.
Replicants are like any other machine. They're either a benefit or a hazard. They're a benefit, it's not my problem.
May I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
Have you ever retired a human by mistake?
No.
But in your position, that is a risk.
The audience, at least this audience, suspected immediately that Rachel was a replicant.
She's a replicant, isn't she?
I'm impressed. How many questions does it usually take to spot one?
I don't get it, Tyrell.
How many questions?
20, 30, cross-referenced.
It took more than 100 for Rachel, didn't it?
She doesn't know.
She's beginning to suspect, I think.
Suspect? How can it not know what it is?
Commerce is our goal here at Tyrell. More human than human is our motto.
Deckard sympathizes with Rachel, and the main movie theme is introduced. Really, what's the difference between humans and replicants if they can feel the same things and have the same memories?
Tyrell really did a job on Rachel. Right down to a snapshot of a mother she never had. A daughter she never was. Replicants weren't supposed to have feelings. Neither were Blade Runners. What the hell was happening to me?
The voiceover narration was forced on director Ridley by the producers, who probably felt the plot was too obscure without it. Harrison Ford, who did the voiceover track, called it an effing nightmare, and is quoted as saying, "I went kicking and screaming to the studio to record it." The voiceovers were dropped after the original theatrical and VHS versions. The director's cuts, now available on DVD, don't have them. Personally, I like the voiceover version much better, and that's what I'm working with here. Ford's cheesy narration fits perfectly with the dark atmosphere of the film. So Pris, the basic pleasure model of replicant, meets J.F. Sebastian outside the decrepit Bradbury building. The name is a tip of the hat to famed science fiction writer Ray Bradbury.
I'm lost.
Don't worry, I won't hurt you. What's your name?
Pris.
Mine's J.F. Sebastian.
We scared each other pretty good, didn't we?
We sure did.
I'm hungry, J.F.
I got stuff inside. You want to come in?
I was hoping you'd say that.
Later, Rutger Hauer's Roy, combat model and head of the replicant group, meets up with them in JF's apartment. Meanwhile, Deckard meets Zora, a martial arts assassin model. He finds her working as an exotic dancer in a sleazy nightclub.
I'm from the Confidential Committee on Moral Abuses.
Committee of Moral Abuses?
Yes, ma'am. There's been some reports that the management has been taking liberties with the artists in this place.
I don't know nothing about it.
Have you felt yourself to be exploited in any way?
Zora's martial arts are no match for Deckard's huge replicant-killing pistol, and he flattens her after a chase through streets and glass windows. Leon is in the crowd that gathers. He gets hold of Deckard and is about to kill him barehanded after knocking the gun away.
My birthday is April 10, 2017. How long do I live?
4 years.
More than you.
Yeah. Rachel is there too. She picks up the gun and shoots Leon. Deckard and Rachel make it back to his apartment, where he washes off the blood. And, after various musings about life and reality, they of course make love, though not explicitly on screen, thank God.
I want you. Put your hands on me.
Back at the Bradbury, Roy convinces JF to help him visit Tyrell. From the elevator in Tyrell's building, JF, with Roy's whispered coaching, devises chess moves so intriguing to Tyrell that he invites JF up to the penthouse.
What's on your mind, Sebastian?
Bishop to King 7, checkmate.
Bishop to King 7's mate, I think.
Let's discuss this. You better come up, Sebastian.
Roy confronts his maker.
What seems to be the problem?
Death.
Well, I'm afraid that's a little out of my jurisdiction.
I want more life.
Roy kills Tyrell and then returns to the Bradbury building to find Deckard has killed Pris.
Not very sporting to fire on an unarmed opponent.
The gun goes bye-bye, and Roy grabs Deckard's wrist by smashing a fist through a wall. He breaks two fingers.
This is for Zora. Ah!
This is for Pris.
Roy's strength is fading as his designed-in end nears. To gain time, he pulls a spike out of some wood and shoves it through his right hand. They scramble around in the rain on the roof, and Deckard ends up hanging from a girder. Deckard's fingers slip, but as he falls, Roy grabs his wrist with the spiked hand.
Quite an experience to live in fear, isn't it?
With his last strength, he raises Deckard to the roof and sets him down.
I've seen things you people wouldn't believe. Attack ships on fire off the shoulder of Orion. I watched sea beams glitter in the dark near Tannhauser Gate. All those moments will be lost like tears in rain.
A white dove Roy has been carrying in his left hand flies free as Roy dies. Combat model Roy Batty has saved the Blade Runner, who is trying to retire him.
I don't know why he saved my life. Maybe in the last moments he loved life more than he ever had before. Not just his life, anybody's life. My life.
That's a big part of what this movie is about. What does it mean to be alive? Deckard goes home and finds Rachel there.
Tyrell had told me Rachel was special. No termination date. I didn't know how long we'd have together. Who does?
In the director's cut, that's about it. But in the cinematic and VHS versions, the two take off in an air car, flying north over California's coast. There's sun and clouds and verdant green, the first sunlight and color in the movie. In my opinion, it's a great ending. So take that, Ridley and Harrison. I agree with the producers. And that's my two cents. I'm John Waugh. All opinions, of course, are mine alone. Visit me on the airwaves Saturday 10:01 p.m., Sunday 3:45 p.m.,
and Wednesday 9:30 a.m.
Email me at kloijohn@gmail.com and let me know some of the other films you'd like to have digested.